So for those of you that started attending worship here after April, my name is Sally Haynes. I'm the senior pastor here. I have just returned. This is my first weekend in worship from a sabbatical. The sabbatical included journeys to the Galapagos Islands, to the Amazon rainforest, to the mountains of Northern California, to the beaches of Sanibel, Florida. It was a wonderful time, and it is so good to be back home also. There is going to be a welcome back luncheon at noon today, and if you didn't sign up, there is still plenty. We're Methodists. There's plenty of food, I'll have about a 30-minute worth of program that Andy and I will have a chance to share about our journeys and some music and a slideshow presentation. If you're not able to stay for that, the video presentation will be available online later, so you'll be able to see some of that then. But it is so good to be back home. I also want to thank Jan Bond for her amazing pastoral leadership, taking care of the whole church while I was gone, lots of preaching and hospital visits. To all of the speakers, Mark and Leslie Hansher, and all of your help and leadership, and for all the staff who did their usual above and beyond amazingly amazing job while I was gone. So thank you. It is so good to be back home. So for this sermon series, which is a new sermon series, one of the things that I am even more convinced about now is that people of faith do not need more rules and regulations and things to do in our lives. I mean, who does? But what we do need and what we're desperately hungry for is a relationship, and a relationship with God. And that if we have our relationship with God in the right place, then that will lead to righteousness, which we also hunger for. In fact, Scripture tells us that we're blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness, I believe, means that when our relationship with God is right, then our relationship with one another and our relationship with the world will also be affected, and it will be right. And so I really wanted to focus on how it is that we could really focus on that relationship with God that leads to righteousness. And so this sermon series is on knowing God, and we're looking at different names for God through the Bible. And so today we're beginning at the very beginning, of Scripture. The very first name for God that if we were having the Scripture read in Hebrew, we would hear would be Elohim, which means God Most High. And so today, as we look at this name for God Most High, both from Genesis and from the book of Psalms, what we're really going to be hearing is what it means to us and to the world that at the very beginning of everything, God was and God created. So listen to these words of Scripture.
Today's Scripture reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and Psalms, chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Dear God, please don't let the mountain lions and the bears, have them run the other direction. Let the rattlesnakes rattle before I step on them. Let me hear the rattlesnakes rattle, and don't let me get lost. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dear God, please let the mountain lions and bears run away from me. Let the rattlesnakes rattle before I step on them, and let me hear it, and don't let me get lost. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is how I found myself walking along a trail in the Sierra Nevada mountains. That may sound like an exaggeration or a dramatization for you. I guarantee you it was not. That is literally how I walked along the trail. The irony was not lost on me that as I was on this sabbatical to connect with God through nature, that there was more than one way that God could use nature to connect with us as I prayed every step of the way. How did I find myself there? Well, Andy and I traveled together for much of the sabbatical, but there was part that I was on my own. And so here I was in Northern California in a retreat center high in the Sierra Nevada mountains, which I had just seen online that they had hiking trails, looked good, didn't know where it was, but found it using my rental car and GPS. And when I checked in, I said, tell me about the hiking trails. And the woman looked at me and said, well, you're alone. I said, well, yes. And she said, I guess it's okay for you to go walking on them. She said, the bears and mountain lions will probably run away from you, but you do want to watch and make sure you don't step on any rattlesnakes. I sort of thought, sure, not a problem. And so when I started out hiking, I began with just sort of one little prayer at the beginning, you know, dear God, you know, please let the mountain lions and bears run away from me and let the rattlesnakes rattle. And so I started out bravely enough. This is what the trail looked like. This was the beginning of the trail, nice broad dirt, lots of beautiful ponderosa pines, lots of vistas. And so I started walking with some confidence. Before long, the trail became like this. These are jacaranda trees, and this little section, you can't see them, but there also were leaves that I was walking on. And so it was during this part of the trail, scuffling through the leaves, that I realized that if a rattlesnake did rattle to warn me, I wouldn't hear it because I was scuffing through the leaves. That was when I decided that four steps was about the right amount of time I could go before I needed to pause and listen for rattlesnakes again. And that was where my prayer then moved from, let the mountain lions and bears run away from me and the rattlesnakes rattle, to add, and let me hear the rattle. Well, after a while, the trail became like this, which isn't much of a trail at all. And I was going through the trees, which was when I added to the prayer, dear God, please let the mountain lions and bears run away from me, the rattlesnakes rattle, and me hear the rattle, and me not get lost. It was also around this time that the pictures that I was taking on my camera began to feel more like one of those video diaries, so that when they found me down the road, they would know what happened to me. At one point, this trail forked. I have no sense of direction, which I was aware of. I also had no map of the trail. The property just showed where the trail began. I didn't know if I was on a circle, a line, if it was 1 mile, 10 miles. I didn't know. So when I came to a fork, this is the exact genuine stick that I picked up so I could leave it in the fork so that should I be lucky enough to find my way back, I would know how to get home from there. As I came, was walking, not once, not twice, but three times, right in the middle of the trail, I found this. Again, I took a picture for my video diary when I was discovered. When I got home, though, I did look on Google, and if you Google mountain lion poop, this is the picture that you get. So I'm walking, and finally I come to a boulder. I am not a rock climber. And there's no trail when you get to boulders. There's just rocks. And I thought, I will go over one boulder and see what I see, and then I can go back and see where I'm getting. And so I climbed over one boulder, and what I saw were more boulders. And so I climbed over the next boulder, and there were still more boulders. And I said to myself, okay, I can turn around at any time. I think I can still get back through the boulders. But so I climbed up, in spite of myself, the very last boulder, and this is what I saw from my boulder. I got to the top of the mountain that I was on, and it was just a beautiful vista. But it was a trail that was fraught with some terror for me. That four steps at a time, listening for rattlesnakes, praying, and four steps more. When I went down, I felt confident enough that the rattlesnakes probably had not moved back into position, that I went a little bit farther than four steps. But nature can be scary. And we know that. In fact, tomorrow, the solar eclipse. I'm sure as you've been reading about that, you've been reading about the times and ways in history where solar eclipses have been seen as a time of fear. They've been characterized as a demon or perhaps a dragon swallowing the sun. And so during that time of darkness, it's a time to chant or to pray or to offer sacrifices so that the sun would return to warming up the earth. And I've never experienced a total eclipse, but you know, I imagine tomorrow when it starts getting dark in the middle of the day, it's going to feel a little disconcerting. And so it's possible to look at nature and see places of fear. That the mountain is tall, that there are mountain lions lurking, that there are eclipses that are going to blot out the sun. And nature can be seen as a place of fear and disorder. So what does it mean for us as people of faith to live in this world? Well, we begin because Scripture teaches us so much about nature and creation and God. At the very beginning, our story begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, God Most High, is the Creator God. And that is so important. It's so foundational because everything that there is created by God. Now let's think about that for a minute. There is not another deity up there who is creating bad stuff and God is creating good stuff. No. Everything that there is because of God Most High. And there is so much we can learn from that. In fact, Scripture tells us the heavens are telling the glory of God and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. It's not that creation is somehow evil or separate from God. It is that creation is a way that we can come to know about God. Creation teaches us about God and God's handiwork. Jesus used nature also. He said, look at the birds of the air. Look, take time. Look at the birds of the air. And when you take time to look at the birds of the air, you'll learn they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? See, by looking at the birds, what happens is inside of us, then we begin to get peace. We begin to know God, and we can lose worry. How? By looking at the birds. And Jesus goes on, he says, consider the lilies of the field. Take time to look at the flowers. And when you do, the flowers will teach you. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God, who so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, God's handiwork teaches us about ourselves. That if the flowers are clothed, then certainly we can trust God with our own selves and our own stuff too. Nature is a wonderful gift of God, given to us by Elohim, the Creator, the one who loves us so much, and set it out before us as this wonderful gift. So what difference does that make? What does that have to do with us? Well, there's several things. And I want to, I'm going to begin with the tough one, although it shouldn't be tough. Like you, I have been watching and praying so much about the events of these past days in Charlottesville and all of the things going on around it. And by remembering that God is Elohim, is Creator of all, then it makes it so very clear to us. Because the God who created this world created the entirety of the world. In nowhere in Scripture, of course, does God say God created the people whose skin looks white or peachish, but everybody else is outside of God's creation. Of course not. And for us to treat people any differently because of the color of their skin, or for anyone to buy into that falsehood that one race is somehow superior than the other, is to deny the goodness of creation, which then is to deny the goodness of the Creator. We are all created by the God who loves us. If you've ever had a child or a grandchild draw you a picture and hand it to you, of course you look at it, you smile, you hold it to your heart, you hang it on the refrigerator. You don't take that picture and say, I don't like it, and tear it up and throw it to the ground in front of your child. Of course not. None of us would do that. Well, when we are treating others whom God has created with anything less than love and respect, it's as if we're tearing apart that picture and saying, God, you know what? I don't like that part of your creation. If we believe and love the God who loves us so much, then we treat this world, we treat with one another with such love and care. Consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. They will teach you so much. Another thing is that this world that God has given us, it is to be treated preciously. That's probably not a verb, is it? We're to treat it with love and kindness. We're to go gentle on the earth as much as we can, and it's hard and it's complicated to tend to our environment in these days, but we are called to do so in whatever ways that we can, because the earth and all that is in it is a gift to us from Elohim, our Creator God. The other thing that I want you to hear is just to urge you to take time to look around you. Let me show you a series of pictures that I've taken. This first one is sunrise or sunset, I actually can't remember which, in the Galapagos, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Just beautiful. This picture is sunset in Blue Springs, Missouri. This picture is a butterfly in the Amazon rainforest. This picture is a butterfly at Burr Oak Woods in Blue Springs. This picture is one of the Galapagos tortoises. He was having a meal when I took his picture. You can see the leaves hanging out of his mouth. I loved those guys. They were great. They were huge. This is a box turtle from Fleming Park in Blue Springs, Missouri. Now, I show you those pictures so that you will know that you don't have to go on an airplane and fly far away to see something beautiful. I guarantee you, when you step out the door, if you pay attention, you will find something that astounds you. And if not out the front door, then go walk out back and look at our community garden or our outdoor chapel or the pond or the trees or the other gardens out there. There is so much in God's good world, including in your own backyard. And Scripture tells us and urges us to pay attention. Because if we really pay attention, we'll find that nature isn't something to be feared, but that it's a pathway to know and love God. And love one another because of the world that we see. One final thing. As I shared with you, and as you all know, tomorrow is the eclipse. We'll be here watching if you want to join us. But I want to share with you an article from Scientific American, which is, as you know, a top science journal about, and they wrote an article about the eclipse. They said, it's an interesting coincidence that the moon should so nearly perfectly blot out the sun, since there is really no physical reason why this has to be the case. This is Scientific American. The moon happens to be about 400 times smaller than the sun, but the sun happens to be about 400 times farther from the earth than the moon is. So simple geometry tells us that the apparent disk of the moon is almost exactly the size of the apparent to us disk of the sun. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because what they're saying and what you may see in other planets, when they have eclipses, if the sun looks this big on another planet, their moon might look like a marble going across the face of their moon. So it's like, oh, there's a little marble, but it's not nearly this. The Earth, because the sun is 400 times farther from Earth than the moon, and because the moon is the 400 times smaller than the sun, it's going to be what you see. It will look exactly the same size and create an eclipse. Think about that for a minute. Do you take for granted that there's a beautiful symmetry in creation? Do you take for granted that the view of the moon and the sun are going to be the same size? Do you take for granted the beautiful ordering in all creation? Do you take for granted the green grass and the blue sky today and the sun up ahead? Because we do that. And I want to urge you simply not to take it for granted. To pay attention to this world that Creator God Elohim has made for us and how that causes us to live and love one another and love this world. So pay attention, not just during the eclipse tomorrow, but as you go from here and in the days to come as the seasons change. Pay attention and allow God's creation to work in your heart and change you. Will you pray with me? Oh God, thank you so much for the beauty of this earth. Thank you for the astounding gifts, including the eclipse tomorrow. May it be a time where we love you more and draw more in confidence into this beauty of this order that you have given us. And God, open our eyes and our hearts and our gifts, our ears to the gifts that surround us of creation and of the ways that you are revealed in those around us. Amen.